For humanity.
The person is going to follow the way of his friend, so you have to be careful.
The most important thing in raising our kids is not following our opinions or other opinions.
One of the qualities you have to look in the man, that he will look after you.
The girl has to pay the money.
This is exactly what happens.
This is a man.
And he needs to have a salary.
The problem is with religious commitment is that a lot of the Muslims nowadays don't.
This is the problem with Sheikh Google, is that the authentic and the non-authentic come up when you type it in.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen wa salatu wa salam ala Rasul al-Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man tabi'a sunnatuhu ila yawmiddin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome again to another episode. I'm your host Ismail Bullock, and I have again with me today Sheikh Abdurrahim McCarthy, Sheikh Salman Al-Amri, and last but not least Sheikh Asim Al-Hakim. We ended on the previous episode talking about the messengers. So I believe Sheikh Abdurrahim and Sheikh Salim have a bit more to talk about the messengers before we move on to the next pillar.
As we mentioned, you know, the viewer comes in, you're not going to get an intensive course in this episode about our belief. Basically explain the hadith of Jibreel, the pillars of Islam and the pillars of Iman, pillars of faith. Going into detail, we're just mentioning some basic information to remind ourselves as Muslims what we believe, and to remind the non-Muslim viewers of what we believe as Muslims. So we're not going to cover everything, just some of the things. But I believe that it's very important that we point out something here, and that is that all of the messengers, all of the prophets, they came with the same message. They came with the same message. وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ اِعْبُدَ اللَّهُ وَاجْتَنِبُوا الطَّاغُوتِ. That we have sent to every nation a messenger to worship Allah as one and to stay away from الطَّاغُوتِ, which is anything which is worship as falsehood. We need to stay away from it. All the messengers call to this, and we see this all through the Quran. And even as you mentioned in the red letter Bible, if you were to go back to it and look through it, you would see obviously this was the message of Jesus Christ himself, alayhi salam. So this is the message, and it goes back to the first pillar, and it reminds the foundation of all the religions. It is Tawheed, to believe in Allah as one and worship him and not join any partners with him. And obviously the basic system of belief of all of the messengers, it's all one. Perhaps their laws, their Sharia, it was a little bit different from here and there, but the basic foundation of all of the religions, it was all one. And that's why a lot of Christians, when they sit with us and we talk, and obviously our brother Ismail, who works in industry, where he meets with a lot of different countries, they always ask you questions about Islam. And when you tell them, you say, oh, that's very similar to Christianity, because the basic message of Jesus, alayhi salatu wasalam, also was the same message of Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam, the same message as Musa, Abraham, Dawood, David, all was the same message.
And that is why they're all called Islam. They're all Muslims. Verily, the religion at the side of Allah is Islam. This is the submission to Allah Azza wa Jalla.
You have mentioned here a very good point, that they will tell you, this is like Christianity. No wonder, because all of them, they came from the same source. That's why there's only one religion, which is Al-Islam, submitting to the will of God. And all prophets and messengers, they were Muslims. So that's why some of the fallacies or arguments of the missionaries say Muhammad copied from the Bible because this story is mentioned in the Bible. You say no. And they only differ in the laws, because the law will address the issues of that particular moment of time. And that's why I find the law, the last law of the Islamic Sharia, it is so flexible, and it accommodates all these changes and face all these challenges and provide solutions. But all the messengers, they came with the same message, calling the people to worship Allah and Allah alone without associating any partners. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَإِلَىٰ عَادٍ أَخَاهُمْ هُودًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. Into the people of Aad, this among the perished nations who happen to be in the southern part of Arabia. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, into Aad we have sent their brother Hud, proclaiming, calling them to what? عَبُدُوا اللَّهَ. So to worship Allah and Allah alone. وَإِلَىٰ ثَمُودَ أَخَاهُمْ صَالِحًا قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. All of them, they are saying this to the people of Thamud, their brother Salih, calling them, عَبُدُوا اللَّهَ. You have no other ilah, you have no other god except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to worship. وَإِلَىٰ مَدْيَنَا أَخَاهُمْ شُعَيْبًا. The same message again. قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَهٍ غَيْرُهُ. And into the people of Madian, the same thing Shu'aib is telling them, عُبُدُوا اللَّهَ, worship Allah, you have no other deity to worship. And so the message of all the messengers is calling the people to worship, to single Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to the acts, their acts. Worship no one but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without associating any partner. Not calling them to believe that God is one. No, because that is by default. It is there in the nature of human beings.
I believe that this is, yani, covers it all regarding the messengers and prophets, because if we would like to list them and say what happened with them and their people and the punishment and the books, this would take
us an episode for each prophet, really.
So if you allow me to move on to the fifth pillar, which is the belief in the day of judgment, the hereafter, the last day. And this belief is common between us Muslims and the other religions, like in Judaism and Christianity and other religions. And it is the driver to doing good and staying away from evil. Because if I did not believe in being resurrected and held accountable for what I do, man, I wouldn't be here. If I did not believe, I would not be here, because I would have been out there doing everything that crosses my mind. Because this is a one-shot life I have to live. So I'm going to make the best of it. I'm going to do evil things, all the evil thoughts in my mind, I'm going to execute them and enjoy life to the fullest, because this is my only shot. Muslims believe that everything you do, you'll be held accountable for. You'll be questioned about. And all the good deeds you do, you'll be credited and rewarded for. That is why they're self-conscious. They're always aware that whatever they do, there's going to be accountability. That's why they don't do bad and evil things. What prevents me from taking your wallet? Size-wise, I'm bigger than you, so I think I can manage. What prevents me from stealing a car, or from killing someone, or from fornicating, or from getting wasted, whether by drugs, booze, or whatever? What prevents me from doing this is the fact that there are angels writing every single thing, and they'll ask me and question me about every single thing. And this is the general concept of the day of judgment. Now, we did not go into details of the resurrection, of the gathering of the people, of the major intercession, of the hell and the fire, because this is all falls under the belief in resurrection. And these are bullet points. We can't go through in detail.
Something that Sheikh Qasim mentioned was very important to talk about, elaborate on a little bit, which is why a Muslim leaves these things. I think that's very important, because we enjoy life, and as Muslims we enjoy life, we have fun, but we have certain boundaries. We won't go across these boundaries to doing other things, like a non-Muslim would say, I want to enjoy as much as I can. I want to be with as many women as I can. I want to get any party as much as I can, because this is opportunity. And it doesn't mean a Muslim wouldn't like to do those things.
He's a human being.
He's a human being at the day. So, for example, when you read a story about an athlete with 1,000 women, Eddie, who wouldn't like to be with 1,000 women?
I wouldn't, man. This is too much for me.
Most people would anyways. But the thing is, now you're leaving it for something greater, your iman in the hereafter, and the pleasures you will find in the paradise. So you're leaving it for that. You're leaving something to gain something in the future. And this is like what he mentioned at the beginning, it's what drives the Muslim, the hereafter. And why doesn't a Muslim do a lot of things? It's because of that. It's because of the issue of the hellfire or the paradise. And that's a big difference you see between, for example, Christianity, where they believe that Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that he died for their sins. And that's why you'll find very common when you find a good, pious, practicing Christian who spent most of his life in the church, in the service of the church, when he dies, they say he's in a better place now. And when the guy from the mafia dies, who's also a Christian, but just happened to be in the mafia, he's also in a better place now. Why? Because that belief is going to have all his sins taken for him. It's like no big deal at the end. That's why you'll find there's no boundaries when it comes to halal and haram. You'll see them in the nightclub, getting drunk, fornicating with their big cross on, because it's a free pass. Whereas the Muslim realizes, I'm not going to say the Muslims don't fall into sin, but we still have, it's something we can be proud of as Muslims. We must be proud of that in our society, even though there is mischief, there is sins, it hasn't reached to the level that the Western society or non-Muslim societies have reached, where they've just, everything is open with no limits whatsoever.
And what actually, I mean, prevents a person from committing some shameful deeds is this, the belief. Because you see, you believe that Allah is watching me, angels are writing my deeds, no one is around you, but you know Allah is watching you. This in itself prevents you from committing whatever displeases the Lord. And that's why the divine law, the law of the Creator, is the law that will bring peace and prevent crime. So wherever the divine law is implemented, you'll find the rate of crimes is less, security is prevalent, whereas man-made law doesn't stop the crime. The prisons are full of criminals, because the criminal knows, if I'm not caught red-handed, that's it. So there's nothing inside prevents him from committing such crime. So if I can go and find a way how to escape from being caught red-handed, that's it. Man-made law is full of loopholes. Even you are caught red-handed, those what you call them lawyers, because they know these loopholes. They know how to manipulate and bring you out.
The belief in this beautiful pillar, the day of judgment or the hereafter, is so vast and huge, and I encourage Muslims to go through it from the very beginning of being resurrected to the great and huge gathering of all the humans at one plaza, anticipating when Allah Azza wa Jalla would judge them, to the intercession of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, after they went to all the messengers and prophets and they have dodged it until it reached the Prophet who intercedes alayhi salatu wasalam, till the mentioning of the Sirat, the mentioning of the bridge, the mentioning of the Qantara, the mentioning of the pool of the Prophet alayhi salam, where people drink from that. All of these, and the description of Jannah and the description of hellfire, all of this falls under the belief of the Day of Judgment, which leads us to the sixth pillar, which is an extremely important pillar of belief.
Sheikh Asim, just before we go to the Qadr, the belief in the last day, which is very essential for a person here who believes in there is a life coming. Death is not the end of it. There is a day where every human being will be held accountable for all his deeds that he did during his life here. And based on that, that is where you receive your certificate on that day, whether you pass the test or fail in the test. So that is the most important thing, that there is another life, and that is the real life you have to work for. This is transient, this is test. That's why Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ad-dunya jannatul kafir wa sijnil mu'min." This dunya, this world, is a prison. Prison for the believer, and it is the paradise for the non-believer. Why it is a prison? It is a prison because you cannot do whatever you like. A prisoner in his cell, his movement is limited. So similarly, your nafs wants to see this woman, you want to see this movie. No, it is haram. But the real life is the next life. Imam Ibn al-Qayyim beautifully, he said there are two prisons. You have to enter one of them. There's no other choice. You have to enter one of them. Either the prison in the dunya, and you will be released on the day of resurrection, and you enter the Jannah, or if you want to lead a free life in this world, then you will enter that prison, which is the hellfire. So the belief in the next life, actually giving the mu'min, the believer, this motivation to keep doing righteous deeds.
This moves us to the last pillar of Iman, which is the belief in the divine decree, whether good or bad. Al-Imanu bil-Qadr, خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ. And this is something that all Muslims believe. And a lot of the non-Muslims may find this difficult, but they believe if they would know Allah Azza wa Jal. As Muslims, we believe that Allah Azza wa Jal has written down what is going to happen till the day of judgment, from the very beginning. And in the hadith, a Prophet ﷺ said, when Allah created the pen, Allah instructed the pen to write. And the pen said, what should I write? And Allah told the pen to write everything that is going to happen until the day of judgment. The Prophet told us about the timing of this writing. He said, and that was 50,000 years before Allah created the creation. Imagine that. So our discussion now has been written down. And everything has been written down in the preserved tablet that no one knows what's happening or what's going to happen except Allah. In it, it is written down when we will be born and die. It's written in it that I'm going to do this, and if I did not do this, what would happen? Everything is written down. My marriage, my children, my death, my illness, my job, my career, my wealth, my poverty, my health, my sickness. And this is what makes a true Muslim a real believer. Because if I'm driving down the road and I'm putting my seat belts and I'm abiding by the speed limit and I have a crash, I have an accident, what would any normal person do? Get out of the car, start a fight. You didn't see, you didn't do. A true believer, what would he do? This is something that was decreed long, long time ago. So I did my best and Allah decreed this upon me. What would I do? I accept it. Alhamdulillah. This doesn't mean that I should not sue the man. I should not take him to court. He should not fix my car. But it shows you the content. My child falls sick. I'm sad. But I'm content because Allah decreed it upon me long, long time ago. And this by itself has a number of pillars. The belief of in Allah's decree, a number of pillars. And to talk about them, it would take ages. But in a nutshell, as a bullet point, you have to know that Allah Azza wa Jal knows everything. And you have to know that Allah Azza wa Jal wills everything that is happening. And that Allah Azza wa Jal has written down everything that is happening. And finally, the fourth pillar, which is that Allah Azza wa Jal has created every single thing that we do. So never think that if I go to the masjid, it's by my own will alone. No, I am doing what Allah Azza wa Jal commanded me. But it is Allah's will that preceded that, and He subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped me to do that.
I want to point out something here, and that's important as Muslims, we realize that true, everything has been written down and everything has been decreed. And this confuses a lot of people because Allah has given us as human beings
free will.
Free will to do what you want. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ نَجْدَيْنَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has showed us the right path and the wrong path. And then we take the choice to take that path. However, Allah knows. And that's what the meaning of the Imam, which one you're going to take. And we don't want this to confuse other people as well, to say, then why work? This is one of the traps of Satan, where he makes the people fall into this, where they don't act upon Islam, because they say, Allah has already chosen for me this. Allah has told you which path to take. He's told you what to do.
Before it is written.
No. He says, so it's already been, he's taken this path. Do this, don't do that. So you're being tested. Just like, I'll give an example of the dunya. When you're going in to take an exam, if you want to get an A, you have to work hard to get it. At the end, you don't know what's really going to happen. You're going to study and you're going to work and you're hoping you're going to get the A. But you don't know. Nobody would say this in a non-religious affair saying, it's already written what I'm going to get. If I'm going to get an A, an F, a D, or a C. So why study? I'll just chill out with my friends and hang out. Tomorrow I'll go take the test. Somebody wouldn't do that. But unfortunately, some people, when it comes to religious, they'll say, it's already been written, so why work? So we won't let shaitan fool us. We are being tested in this dunya. But one of the beautiful things about this qadr, this belief in the divine decree, how it helps a Muslim deal with his life. Now, there has been some changes in the Muslim community throughout the world because of the effect of the movies they watch and the effect that it brings. Like you see on the Hollywood movies, when something happens, they look up to the sky. Why me? Why are you doing this to me? A'udhu billah. Look up like this. You might find some Muslims who get affected
I've
like this.
I've seen Muslims writing this on Facebook, unfortunately, yeah. You know?
It's still something not as much in the Muslim community because in general, you'll see that a Muslim knows this from the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from Allah's decree.
Coincidentally, the ones that I have seen happen to be Muslims who are brought up in the West. So they have that kind of...
Even I've seen it in Muslim countries as well, but it's not as much.
Yeah, not as much, yeah.
And in general, you'll find that the Muslims, alhamdulillah, and this is something, once again, to be proud of, is that it helps you deal with the daily pressures. We have some countries around the world, we just realized recently after some of the revolutions that how rich we really are as Muslims, you know. We knew we had some countries that were rich. We didn't know all the countries we had were rich, but they were just, the money was getting stolen from them. But these people who live in these poor countries, poverty, you'll find that inside they're happy. Inside they're living a good life. They can joke about life. You don't see high suicide rates in the Muslim countries. Why? Because they realize whatever's happening is the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that the reality of this life is they're here to be tested to see which path they're going to take.
It's an interesting point because many people, they try to delve into this qadr issues and they try to say, but how? And they really try, you explain to them, they try and go more. And maybe one of you can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was Ibn Abbas. He gave an example of saying that when you delve into qadr, it's something along these lines. It's like being in a dark corner of a dark alley on a dark street on a dark night. Meaning, you know, how dangerous that would be if you were in a corner of an alley, in a completely dark alley, in a dark street, on a dark night. It's very dangerous and deadly and what have you. So he was comparing this over unnecessary delving into the qadr. And
I would advise the people whenever shaitan comes to them, because this is a great gate for shaitan to cast his doubts to them. I advise them, first of all, before you complain or you try to justify things with your own logic, you have to believe that Allah's knowledge is not like ours. People say, Ya akhi, why, if Allah knows that I'm going to do this, why didn't He stop me? Subhanallah, you're not treating your peer. Allah Azza wa Jal is your owner, is your creator, in the sense that if Allah wills it and He takes all of us and puts us in hell, the righteous and the sinners, no one would claim that to say, Ya akhi, this is not fair. We are Allah's possession. He creates us. He annihilates us, it's up to Him. But you have to add to that though Allah knows and His knowledge is not unlike us, Allah is fair and just. So whenever you see something, is, Ya akhi, but why? It seems to me unfair. You have to believe that this is Allah's ruling and Allah is never unjust to you. Whatever Allah does, there is the supreme justice and fairness in it. And whenever someone claims that this is qadr, yani, I'm not going to do. Why did you steal? Wallah, Allah willed it. Why did you not pray? Allah did not allow me to do it. Those who claim to justify their actions by qadr, I usually do this. I tell them, Akhi, go to a high riser and throw yourself from the top roof. And if Allah wills it, you will land on your feet. I said, Yaqa, are you crazy? I'm not going to do this.
Are you crazy? Ask him. When you knew in the other affairs of your
then
life,
why,
right?
Why aren't you praying? And you say, well, Allah wills it, will forgive me, Allah will do this, will do that.
Or if you slap him and he said, this is by Allah's qadr, he will not accept it.
We've come again to the end of another interesting episode. To the viewers, obviously we mentioned today, we continued on believing in the last day and the importance of believing in the last day and information about the last day. And we've just moved on and discussed the divine decree and various aspects of that. So until you join us next time, please make sure you tune in again to Peace TV, the solution for humanity. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mm-hmm.